superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Tell me what you need, you know I got it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I mean, so what?
Got to have it all the time, can't live without it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You just struggle getting it going.
He is none other than Peter King. What'd you make of Brian Flores' decision?
Is there a rule in the coaching rule book that says who is going to shatter like a pane of glass?
Earlier on the show, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, Tampa Bay Times Bucks beat writer Rick Stroud, still to come, Emmy Award-winning reporter Jim Gray, actor Bobby Cannavale, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, just burned the edge of the cup right there for hour number three as TJ Jefferson starts every hour here on the Rich Eisen Show on NBC Sports on Peacock. Putting on our golf surface, on our putting surface, just to my right here in Los Angeles, Chris Brockman at his post, and Mike Del Tufo at his post as well, Rich. In their spots. We're going to get to Chris Brockman's news update shortly right here on the Rich Eisen Show. A lot of conversation based off of last night's game, of course. You know, a guy who I follow on Twitter, he's been on the show, Jeff Schwartz, former offensive lineman.
Yeah.
He tweeted out, as Brady took the field with 2 minutes and change to go last night, the entire sports talk world will be driven by this next Brady drive. He's like, tomorrow's sports talk will be driven by this next Brady drive. And it ended up with a second interception of the night for Jordan Fuller of Tom Brady. Pick 199 of the 2020 draft, picking off 199 of the 2000 draft.
Sports are cool that way, though, right? Fuller just happens to be the 199th pick.
Right.
Brady, the most famous 199 of all time.
Well, I guess... And this is how crazy it is, because the fact that the numerology could work, 2000 and then 2020,
yeah,
is a testament to Brady's greatness. It would be akin to whoever was a quarterback drafted in the sixth round this year. Okay? Was there a quarterback drafted in the sixth round this year?
Stand by.
Whoever that quarterback is gets picked off by the 199th pick of the 2040 draft.
Jake Luton.
Was he 199?
He was 189.
Okay, so let's just put it this way. Jake Luton, pick 189 of the 2020 draft, goes on to have a storybook NFL career, spending 19 remarkable seasons, winning 6 championships for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean, that would be incredible.
Only to wind up with another team in 2040 and get picked off by the 189th overall selection of that year's draft.
Let's keep that going.
What are the odds? Twice, by the way, getting picked off twice. Jordan Fuller and Tom Brady have set the bar very high in a manner in which Brady doesn't want discussed for another second. And Jordan Fuller has got a big feather in his cap.
I mean, I bet all of Mike's Apple stock.
That's another thing about the Rams, too, man. They are, as you know, the Rams are the youngest team in the NFL coming into this year, roster-wise. And Van Jefferson and Cam Akers scored their first career touchdowns last night in a game in which Kupp and Woods couldn't be stopped. And yet, we're talking about Tampa, and for understandable reasons. This is Brady's first non-Patriot foray. We've all been keenly interested in
it. It's March.
Right. And the cast that he has around him is supremely talented. And here we are in week 11, still talking about week one issues.
Andrew,
in the passing game.
Really skews the average age of the Rams.
I know, right? We talked with Aaron Rodgers in hour one about he didn't watch this game. He read a book about dreams. We talked about dreams with him. And obviously the loss that just happened and how he's handling it. By the way, spoiler alert, he's okay. Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, we just chatted with Jim Gray. The actor Bobby Cannavale is about to join us, and he's just fantastic. He's a, like me, fellow Yankee fan and Jet fan. He's hurting on that last front. He's in a new movie coming out on HBO Max on Thursday with Melissa McCarthy. Funny. He's funny. Awesome. This conversation is just going to leave you with your sides hurting. We had it last week.
One of our favorite
Friday.
Humans. One of our favorite people.
He guest hosted this show in 2014. And wait till you hear. He's so good. And I have him tell his favorite Al Pacino story.
Oh, man.
Give me a good Al Pacino story. So.
Because they did a movie together where Bobby plays his son.
And he also did Glengarry Glen Ross on Broadway.
Yeah.
Where he played the role that Pacino played in the movie.
Oh, wow.
He played Roma.
Yeah, Ricky Roma.
On Broadway.
That's awesome.
And so he knows Pacino very well. That's again, and then we'll get to your news update. When he hosted this show, Bobby, on a
December of 2014.
Okay, because I was in wherever the hell I was doing Thursday Night Football on a flight on the way back, and I asked Bobby, would you like to fill in? Sure, I'll do it. No problem. Yeah, and he said it left it because I think Bush was in studio, right?
We had Gavin Rosdale and a couple of the guys from Bush do a little mini concert right over here to our right.
Oh, man, that was so cool.
He interviewed him, and then they played a concert as we were kind of going off the air.
And the sports talk radio show networks that we were on were like, what the hell are you doing? Practically revolted. Yeah. Like, why are you having music on?
It was one of the coolest days ever.
It's because that's the type of show we wanted to do. We still do.
Still do it. Awesome.
At any rate, he said to me that night, because we went out singing karaoke later that night,
and
I had dinner with him that night prior to the karaoke. He said that he's done Broadway, and he's done two shows in a day, like a Wednesday matinee or two shows on the weekends,
two shows on Sunday, right?
Right. And he's never been more tired after doing something. Now you know why sometimes I need to nap after this show. At any rate, the conversation's great.
It's awesome.
And it also a great Ken Griffey Jr. reference coming up. That's in a moment here on the Rich Eisen Show. Chris Brockman has a news update right here, catching you up on everything going on in the rest of the world in our third hour of this program.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Chris, what do you have over there?
Okay, just starting off today, talking about the Ravens now. Adam Schefter saying Ravens now have had 5 players and 4 staff members test positive for COVID this week. We know Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, at least 2 of those players. However, Thursday night's game still on against Pittsburgh as scheduled. One source told Adam, though, warned that further positives could mean postponement.
Yeah, I mean, I'm knocking on wood that that everybody's fine. A, and B, that this is not an outbreak involving a team that's in a playoff hunt. I mean, the NFL has done a great job to prevent an outbreak, where it just ravages an entire team, similar to what we saw in baseball with the Cardinals and the Marlins. This is exactly what would – Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but this is exactly what would cause the NFL to add a Week 18 if a team like the Ravens is one game shy of everybody else. And what if the Steelers are undefeated, right? This is a game that would have to be played. And I'm just hoping that I guess today's test will be revealed tomorrow, which will reveal whether there's going to be a game Thursday night on Thanksgiving night for everybody.
Seems like it, yeah.
So we'll just put a pin in that and hope for the best.
Okay, so an update on what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, this is awful.
Marcus Paul, the team's strength coach, still alive, had a heart attack this morning at the team facility, is undergoing tests at a nearby hospital. But the family wanted to make it clear he has not died. He is in the hospital getting the treatment that he needs to make a recovery. But a scary situation down in Dallas.
Okay. Yeah, because there's been
all sorts of rumors
headlines
and things flying along on Twitter. But he's a former Syracuse All-American. And
yes,
one of the Syracuse papers contacted his family, wanted to make it clear he's still alive.
Well, hopefully he's 54 years old.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's worked for several teams, worked at the Giants, been with the Cowboys for a while. So.
The Cowboys have canceled everything today.
Yeah, they're working remote.
Oh, my God.
Scary, scary stuff. Back to some player stuff. Kyler Murray was seen rehabbing on the side at today's practice, did talk, said he feels fine, feels good, just precautionary, so nothing.
He suffered an AC joint injury in the Sunday, in that loss, pardon me, to the against the Thursday night loss to kickoff week 11 against Seattle. Did not look himself. I mean, at one point rolling to his left, had a wide open DeAndre Hopkins running with him. They were running in the same
About 10 yards away.
Area,
not
right?
Far, yeah.
And as we know, the previous week, rolling to his left, he can throw it 50 yards into a spot that he needs to throw it into, and he was way off.
Way off, yeah.
He was way off. And I'm sure, you know, whatever, to use the Dion phrase that I heard him use many times, visiting Dr. Needle at halftime, that was in the third quarter. So even with all that, taking on New England, man.
It's an interesting game.
I don't know how the hell that's going to play out.
Really,
I have no earthly idea how that's going to play out at all. That one is every chess piece thrown up in the air. Do you know who was also on the board in the 2000 draft when New England chose Tom Brady, 199th overall? Who was chosen 201st overall, two picks later?
No, who's that?
Cliff Kingsbury.
That's funny.
Coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
How about that?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Sports world's so weird, man.
What else?
Bad news for the Browns. Denzel Ward has a calf issue, going to miss a couple of weeks. Mike Garofalo said, talking about Joe Burrow, this multi-ligament knee injury, very similar to Carson Wentz's back in 2017. So Wentz, that happened in week 14, I think, right out here against the Rams. So he missed the first two games the following year. So Burrow's kind of on that same pace, a little 9 months. But there is confidence going in that he is going to come back fully for this one. Maybe not 100% at the start of next year. But he could be on the field as a start week one next year.
So. Okay, very good. By the way, I always want to correct myself. I read that story wrong. Kingsbury was not selected two picks later in the same draft as Brady. He was the 201st overall selection of the 2003 draft.
By the Patriots.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
So he was selected two picks later as a sixth round pick. The year after they chose Brady.
Wow.
Didn't work out. Three years after. Yeah, it's all worked out. Thank you, Don. I appreciate that. It's all worked out for him.
Fire pit.
Again, it's like 120 degrees out in
fire pit
Arizona.
So, my bad. It wasn't the same draft as Brady. It was three drafts after Brady, taken by the Patriots right around the same time that they took
Brady. And now he's.
It's all worked out. Right? It's worked out for everybody except me botching the story.
Rich, you're still good, baby.
Thanks,
still
pal. Good. Appreciate that.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
There goes my blurb for Jim Gray's next book about goats.
Pro Football Hall of Fame announced the 25 modern era semifinalists. Four first-time eligible players, Jared Allen, Calvin Johnson.
Charles and Peyton.
Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson.
Isn't amazing that Charles Woodson and Peyton Manning are going to go into the Hall of Fame together.
Right.
1-2 in that Heisman Trophy race.
That's pretty awesome. Also on the list.
Not respectively. Charles was
Steve
first.
Tasker, Zach Thomas, Reggie Wayne, Hines Ward, Patrick Willis.
Calvin Johnson, too.
Torrey Holt, Rondé Barber.
Calvin's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Is Calvin a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I don't think so.
No. The Hall of Fame put four photographs of the first year eligible guys.
Well, there were only four.
I know. It's time for Bisselli to get in. It's time for John Lynch to get in, man. You know who deserves to get in, too, is Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt, yeah.
I mean, really, all these guys deserve to get in.
I know.
Richard Seymour, right? Rondé Barber.
Harrison.
Hines Ward, Reggie Wayne.
Leroy Butler deserves to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So those are announced.
Okay.
Some NBA, just two quick NBA things.
By the way, that class is going to go in with last year's class together in a big old hoo-ha. Yeah. In August of next year when we're, knock on wood, if you're with me, everyone's going to be there
all there.
Healthy and vaccined up.
Marc Gasol signed a 2-year deal with the Lakers. Lakers are now absolutely stacked.
So it'll be Gasol and Harrell.
I don't understand how they're able to do this. I mean,
remember, Marc Gasol was originally drafted by the Lakers, traded to Memphis for Powell.
Yes.
Before their last, full circle. Last run.
How the Lakers?
How are they doing it? They do this? Yeah, how?
Their team's better now than it was last year.
Okay.
I'm upset.
Here's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to
say this. I don't care either. Okay. Right? I know this is not going to look good for me, but I'll say it anyway.
Say it loud. Say it with your chest.
If you went to somebody in the professional sports business and said, you can go work with Rich Eisen, would they say yes?
I hope so.
Of course.
Yeah.
If you say someone in the NBA, you can go work with LeBron James, what are they going to say?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I just made that comparison and analogy because I was left out of Jim Gray's book about goats. And I'm deep down pissed about it.
Do we need Tyson to step in here between you and Jim? Tyson,
in all seriousness, who wants to play with LeBron? For the Lakers? And Anthony Davis? You just saw what just happened.
That's
what are they gonna? What are they just going to lose it overnight?
I was hoping.
Please.
Yeah, Rich, I got some news. I'm joining the Lakers to work. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm moving over.
So I'm just saying.
Also, the Heat are giving Bam Adebayo 5-year, $163 million.
Run it back, baby. Do not break it up for Giannis. Do not break it up for Giannis.
Any news on Creamy Bighams? Has he gotten his money yet? Because he deserves it.
Two baseball things. Charlie Morton going to the Braves for a year.
Yes.
Get to the important one, Brockman. Come on.
So the Braves pitching staff is now loaded. Buster Olney saying the Braves have been super aggressive. Mets not far behind. The Mets are going to be in the running for the big four free agents this winter. That's George Springer, Real Muto, the catcher, Trevor Bauer, and Francisco Lindor. Quote, it's all true. Now, did you see this, guys? So we all know the Mets, Bobby Bode, every July 1st, he gets paid the 1.1, whatever.
Yes.
So Stephen Cohen, new Mets owner, doing some Q&A on Twitter, but very active, very fun account. This guy, Diehark, tweeted at him, thanks for buying the team. I know it's not a good cash flow move, but to change the mojo, can we just pay Bobby B the $18 million we owe him right now?
Yes.
Maybe he takes the discount and we don't have to deal with the anniversary for the next 15 years.
Now, let me just jump in here. What did I tell you about your new Mets owner? Your days of the Wilpons and wondering where the money's from or if they're going to be aggressive or they know when to be aggressive or if they're going to be aggressive are over. They're over. This guy's coming in with his billions.
14 of them.
He's coming in and basically saying, we have arrived as a team in the number one media market, in the number one sports media market of the United States, if not the world. We have arrived to go penny for penny, nickel for nickel, dime for dime, dollar for dollar with the Yankees.
Pay that man his money.
And speaking of that guy, who was created by Brian Koppelman and David Levine of billions, and we'll get to Steve Cohen's response in right now. But, you know, everybody thinks he's axe. Look at this response from Stephen Cohen. Stephen Cohen responds, let's take a vote. How about we have a Bobby Bonilla Day every year? Hand him an oversized check and drive a lap around the stadium. Could be fun.
I think that's genius.
Yeah, I saw that.
So let's take the one story that every year reminds everybody about just how sad sack of an organization this is from the fact that A, they still can't win. B, they had to defer Bobby Bonilla's money 20 years ago, 20 years into the future, because they didn't have the money to just give him on the spot. It was better for them to, I guess, taxes-wise or whatever, to just keep pushing it and pay him for 20 more years. And he's basically saying, all right, yeah, I'll just rip off what I got in my back pocket, hand it to him, and we'll have some fun with it. And I always said, there's got to be a Wags there, right, who's in his ear?
Oh, yeah.
Because this guy is axe, even though Koppelman and Levine, the creators of billions and rounders, swear it's not him.
Brian Koppelman today retweeted that, said, not axe, but this is so axe. Love it. It's axe, Brian. Just say it. It's axe.
I can't wait for the storyline where Axe buys a baseball team.
Oh, it's happening.
Bobby Axelrod is the new owner of the Mets. You are so. You might get two of these guys you just mentioned. Two of them. What does he care?
We're definitely getting two.
Look at you now.
You need to start watching Billions, too.
Yeah, the thing is, like I said, your Axe references, I wish I could
Go watch it and know that your owner of the Mets is arrived. I'll be very honest with you. I, as a Yankee fan, am genuinely concerned they're going to
take over our
just take some Yankees that we always thought, what are you going to go to the Mets? They can't afford him.
Pay him.
Yeah, or we're ready to take Thor. Or
come on, man! Don't say that.
DeGrom, whenever you're ready to stop paying him because you can't afford him anymore, that's gone. That's done.
They're getting paid, son.
They're basically going to have Thor and DeGrom drive Bobby Bo around the stadium with his big check of $18 million
in the Metmobile.
In the Metmobile. Yep. In his workshop.
Let's bring that back.
Coming soon to Showtime, a new episode of Billions.
Cousin Stevie, let's do this.
Holy crap.
I'm ready.
Congrats, sir.
Thank you.
Let's take a break. When we come back, fellow Yankee fan Bobby Cannavale will be joining us. This is a dynamite conversation you will not want to miss right here on Peacock and more. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Our radio audience will return in a second, but for the moment, just want to tell you about right here on Peacock. Starting tomorrow, you can start streaming the Peacock original Saved by the Bell. Yes, indeed. Bayside's is back with new students, new stories, and some very familiar faces. Start streaming right now. I notice Elizabeth Berkley and Mario Lopez there, and John Michael Higgins looking like the new Mr. Belding right there.
Yep.
The host of America Says, which my son Cooper cannot stop watching on Game Show Network. Cannot stop.
Oh, I watch it. It's on after Family Feud.
Cannot stop.
Yeah. I'm with him.
Oh, dude. You know what game shows mean to me. Well, my son says, let's turn off football, Dad, when the game's over and turn on game shows. I just like want to hug him. That's my boy. That's Rich. My boy. Then he says, let's watch Masked Singer and say, I say, what the hell's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you?
You know you're not going to know whoever the hell takes the mask off. You know? Back here in the Rich Eisen Show, we've got a great conversation right here. I love this guy. We're cut from the same cloth, from the same neighborhood. I guess the only difference is he's an Emmy Award-winning actor who's great in absolutely everything he does, including the new film that's going to be streaming on HBO Max starting on Thanksgiving Day, starring in part Bobby Cannavale, called Superintelligence. Here's my conversation with Bobby, who joined me via Zoom from Australia. Joining me now is a good buddy, longtime friend of the program as well. He guest hosted way back in 2014, and here we are in 2020, joining me here in advance of his movie Superintelligence with Melissa McCarthy and James Corden, which is going to be on HBO Max on Thanksgiving Day. My buddy, Bobby Cannavale. How are you, Bobby?
Hi, Rich. Well, thanks. Nice to see you. You look good.
You look good, too. Is the beard for the role that you're doing?
The beard is for the role that I'm doing here. I'm in Australia, so I grew the beard for this job, and also really to commemorate the lousiest year ever. I'll always know what year. Whenever I see that movie, I'll know what year it was.
Because it's a big beard you got going on. Right. So you're in Australia. So you're 19 hours ahead of me. Do you know if the Jets have lost yet then? Do you know if they've lost
yet? I don't, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say they did. And not only did they, but they probably lost badly. I haven't watched a single Jets game this year because I just can't. I can't add to the crappy year that we've had by actually exposing my eyes to that horror.
Okay.
I can't.
So if you want, I can, would you like me? I can summarize generally.
You don't have to. You know why? Because I'm on a thread, and that's all I got to do is follow the thread. I've got a couple threads. You're one of them.
Okay.
But yeah, I've got another thread with Joe Lowe and my brother and my friend Stephen Girgis. And like, it's really funny because I will watch, you know, I watch football on Monday morning here, 6 a.m. And so I'm watching, I watch football. I watch all the games except for the Jets. Like, I don't even do what's the thing? Red zone, because yes. I don't want to accidentally see them. So I just follow other teams, and then I just follow the thread, and the thread is hysterical.
Like, you way back in the day when you were on my podcast prior to show, you came up with the phrase code tidy bad. That there, and we kind of made it that sort of that jingle, that Zest soap jingle. You're not fully bad unless you're co-tidy bad.
I think this guy's co-tidy bad, but I think Adam Gase is making this guy look like Bear Bryant. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, Kotai looks like a genius compared to what's happening over there. Now, I mean, I don't quite understand. Okay. It's no secret. My movies aren't exactly like, you know, I'm no Tom Cruise, right? Like they don't make a ton of money. I'm in some good movies that I like. I'm a fan of, but they're niche movies, let's say.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You shouldn't be allowed to be a niche NFL coach, right? I mean, is Adam Gase a niche NFL head coach? I mean, if you want somebody to lose every game, you call that guy, right? I know you're compromised. I know you can't.
No. I don't want to say that because I think you're better at what you do than what Adam Gase is at what he does. So I don't know if I want to buy that analogy, Bobby. You know, I mean,
that's kind of you.
He couldn't pull off Jip Rossetti for if his life depended on it. If that was a version of NFL coaching, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't go there. You know,
how do you lose that many games and remain in any discussion ever again about doing this job? I mean, what's the difference? I mean, I could lose 9 games in a row. I can do that. You know what's funny? Like, not to pivot here, but it sort of reminds me of I promise you this is a natural pivot. But in the movie, in the Superintelligence, I have this scene with Ken Griffey Jr.
Okay.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. Like, the movie takes place in Seattle, and I play the biggest Ken Griffey Jr. fan. And so Melissa McCarthy works it out that, you know, we go to a Mariners game and we're in the box, and Ken Griffey Jr. comes and watches the whole game with me. Yes. So Ken came out for one day, and he came out to shoot for one day, flew his own plane to Atlanta after a round of golf, flew up, and then shot all day with me. Guy looks like he just retired. Like, he looks amazing, right? Anyway, we spent the whole day talking about baseball. It was like a dream come true, asking this guy those questions. But, like, you know, I'm a Yankees fan. In the end, I'm a Yankees fan.
Yeah.
So it had to come up eventually. You know me, I'll just say it like it is. So I was like, you know, you never beat us, right? I mean, you didn't win. You know, we've got 27 championships. So I kept on saying it. And he would go, you know, my teams were pretty good. He did not like that. But he did not like that.
In terms of liking it or not liking it, he did not like it.
But it just made me think, like, I was just in talking about Adam Gase, I was like, I know these guys, it's not an easy thing. Like, you know, we can sit here all day and talk about how crappy a coach certain guys are or whatever. And it's not an easy thing. I couldn't do it. But again, I mean, you and I could coach the Jets to an 0-9 record. I don't understand. And I have a feeling that players might like me better, actually. They might actually have a better time because I got jokes. I got stories. I got Hollywood stories. You know, what does Adam Gase have? Got nothing. You know, he's got like stories about working with Peyton Manning when Peyton Manning already had 1 foot in the Hall of Fame.
With Cutler. He can talk about Cutler, his days with Cutler in Chicago. Oh,
oof. Yeah. The problem with the Jets is now what always is the problem is. It's like, just when you think they can't get any worse, they get worse. And then it's hard to find somebody who wants that job. Like, well, who wants that job?
Here's the thing. Because I know, again, you're down in Australia. I'm here with Bobby Cannavale on the Rich Eisen Show. I know you're in Australia, so you might not be getting a lot of college football news. But Trevor Lawrence, despite getting COVID-19, looks as great as ever. And the Jets have done more than half of the hard work to get there. And the tough thing is that means Sam Darnold has to go, which is not his fault. And he does not need to be talked about like this. And all I've been doing on my show, Bobby, is talking about how this has to happen. The tanking for Trevor has to happen. They have to get this kid. Because
but a couple of thoughts about this kid. Number one, isn't he pulling an Eli? Doesn't he not want to play for the Jets?
He's not pulling Eli. When you basically say, here's your fur coat, stand next to Joe Namath, and we can make 15 commercials, right? Like, that's not happening if he pulls an Eli to go to Jacksonville. That's not happening. He will go to New York City, and he will be Broadway Trevor, and it will be phenomenal. And the way, when you say, who's going to coach this team, you basically say to every coach in the United States who wants to get in the NFL, who wants to be hooked up with Trevor Lawrence for the next 15 years in New York City, raise your hand, and they will come from everywhere. This is the way out for so many different ways.
Now, but we've said this before, and the Jets destroy the souls. They've destroyed the souls of so many quarterbacks in the past. I remember running into Schechter at a Jets event when Darnold was a rookie, and I said to him, hey, man, what do you think? And he said, you know, of all these guys, they say Darnold's the smartest. And he's going to be the best. He's the real deal. And look what's happened. I mean, we're not going to, for the poor guy, I feel bad for him. There's something in the system. Like, part of me thinks we should trade that pick and get like a ridiculous haul back and get a free agent quarterback. Like,
well, I think if you trade him, you better trade. You can't. You just cannot watch him do what he's probably going to do in the NFL for someone else, when you had an opportunity to get him for yourself and earned the right. Seriously, again, while you're, you know, this is one of my favorite phrases from our area where you grew up, while you are gallivanting in Australia, avoiding the Jets square on your international red zone, we're all living it, and they are earning the right to take Trevor Lawrence week in, week out. They came so close to beating Belichick on Monday Night Football, and then 13 points in a fourth quarter, they come back. Joe Flacco looks terrible. I mean, it's
who's going to coach him, Rich? Who's going to coach?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that. I mean,
if they're definitely going to keep that, if they're going to end up with the first pick, right? So, do you think that they're waiting to make sure that they lose all the games so that they can then get the right coach?
Correct. They have to, and they've held Darnold out the last couple of weeks, which is the right way to go. But they're not, you know, in all honesty, they're not trying to tank. They really tried to win that Monday night game, and they're trying every week. They just don't have the firepower. And then one stupid coaching maneuver after another, you know, and it's not just all Gase either. It hasn't been great, but the future is Trevor. It really is Trevor.
And you think Clemson could beat the Jets?
No. I think the Jets would beat Clemson. They'd destroy them. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The NFL team would destroy the best college team every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Okay. All right. I think so, too, normally. But, again, they're Gacy. You know what I mean?
They're
Gacy. It's like being Gacy.
It's above Gacy. You got Kotite and now it's Gacy?
I mean, I like the scan of Kotite because it's not a good scan, but that's what makes it a good scan. Like, it's a kind of a loser scan. But Gacy's a little too obvious, but
Oh, gosh. I got Bobby Cannavale here on the Rich Eisen Show. I see your Savages in the Box t-shirt that you're wearing right there, a little Yankees. And it's interesting you mentioned that you worked with Ken Griffey Jr. on this show I'm pleased he didn't throw back in your face that he scored the winning run of the playoff game that ended Mattingly's career. He did.
I know.
That did happen.
He did not mention that. He's a class act, man. I'm joking. You know, like he really didn't get mad, but like we had a pretty good ribbing back and forth.
That's good.
And I got to say, like hours and hours. And then I think he had it when he said, hey, man, you know, you don't have any championships. The way he said it, bro, it was like we were in a schoolyard, like we were ready to throw down. He was just tired of it. He was tired of me saying hour 27, hour 27. It's got to be hard to be a professional athlete. You know, I'm playing a professional athlete in this thing I'm shooting here. And in it, I have all these references to, you know, how what a pain in the ass it is to be a retired athlete because you can't go out. You know, you just got to deal with knuckleheads all the time, just telling you what they would have done. And, you know, and I must be like just a classic example of that kind of a fan because it's tough, man. It's tough when like it's tough when your team is that bad and you go, I mean, I know I can't play football, but I just feel like I have the right. You know, I mean, they have not won in my lifetime. And I'm 50 now. It's, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going to be one of those Cubs fans. I don't want to be one of those Cubs fans, you know? I don't want to be my buddy Tommy Osh's, you know, dad who didn't get to see his team win, win it all. Yeah.
So tell me about the movie. Tell me about Super Intelligence. It's Melissa McCarthy and her husband, Ben Falcone, directed it, right?
Yeah. We shot it a couple of years ago in Atlanta, and it's basically the idea is she is the most average person in the world, and she gets kind of selected by this AI that gets into like all of her devices and gets into the government's devices and is going to shut down the grid for the world. And the AI is represented by the form of James Corden's voice. Because she's such a fan of James Corden, he takes on the voice of the AI, and he's going to destroy the world and shut down the grid unless he can, because he's given up on humanity. And so unless he can see that humanity is worth saving, he's going to end it all. And so she has to set out to prove to him that the world is worth saving, that love is more powerful than anything else. And I represent, believe it or not, that love of her life.
Okay.
Can you believe it? I mean, I don't, when you first see me, you might think I'm going to murder a bunch of people, but guess what? I don't in this movie. So that's why I did it because I couldn't believe it. I was like, is she really asking for me? Luckily I know Melissa. So I had to have like, she texted me, hey, you want to do this movie with me? Will you play the love of my life? And I was like, do I murder you in the end? And then she was like, no, I want you to play a good guy because I never get these parts. So it was really fun. And it was really, really fun. She's a great actress and she's a lot of fun. And she and her husband have a good little cottage industry there making movies together.
Gene Smart is in it too. Great cast, man.
Brian Tyree Henry.
That's right. He's in it too.
Yeah. Okay. It's good.
It's on HBO Max, premiering on Thanksgiving Day. And yeah. And that's called Super Intelligence. Everybody do that. Go check it out starting on Thanksgiving Day. Before I let you go, sir, can you tell me a good Pacino story? I know you worked with him on Broadway, right? Did you live with him in L.A.? Did you crash at his place or something like that? Or vice versa?
I haven't crashed at his – have I crashed at his place?
But you worked with him on Broadway.
He really offered it to me, but I adore him, you know. And
you got a good story?
I've got a couple of good stories. Well, you know, for one thing, you know, he was thrilled to know that I played poker. Like when I first met him, he was like, you got to come to my poker game. And I was like, I love it. You know, I got a poker game myself. Right. And he was like, you got to come. And I showed up. The first time I showed up to his poker game, it was incredible because before I got there, Al was the youngest guy at that poker game. So like now, I'm pretty sure he just wanted to get the mean average down of the guys. So that, you know, so we have these great games and, you know, he's a really incredible guy, you know, cause his friends, you go and like, it's not like you get there and it's like, oh, Elliot Gould, you get there and it's not that at all. It's like, you know, Frank's not kidding, 95. And he gave Al his first job delivering papers. And that's who you're playing cards with. It's the greatest, man. And, you know, like old friends of his from the actor's studio. And, you know, they don't play for, you know, like you're literally raising 50 cents, you know. And I guess the point of that story is just to tell you that, like, that guy's true blue with his friends. Like,
that's great.
Friends from when he was a kid. And and we play, and he always gets a hotel suite, and we play, and then we order from either Katz's or Carnegie Deli.
Deli.
And then we take a little break, and we eat these, you know, massive sandwiches, and then usually I gotta always I have to push the time that we eat, because I know that after the sandwiches, game's over pretty soon after that. You know what I mean? It's like there's only one bathroom in the suite, you know, so guys gotta go home, you know. But it's the greatest. I love the guy so much, and he's just really generous. He always has been with me, and you know, during this time, this terrible time, we've been just corresponding, and he's a great writer. I mean, he writes me these long letters, and I hope he writes his memoirs one day, because he's a great writer and a great recollector of stories from his life.
Fantastic. Are you still doing your fantasy league with Rudd? And you mentioned Jolo.
I'm in first place, buddy.
You are?
Yeah, I'm in first place. But although I got Russell Wilson, so that's kept me in first, and that's starting to get a little shaky. I hope that – I don't know what's happening over there, but that the running game seems to be
getting better. They're getting healthier. So you got Russell, and then who else do you have? Who else?
Russell. I got Todd Gurley. I got Daryl Henderson. I've got Zeke. But, you know,
I know
Zeke's incredible. Zeke's a monster, isn't he, though? Like, even with that team, they just feed him the ball. He's kind of guaranteed. You just plug him in.
Okay.
You know, so he's
who else you got?
I don't have great receivers. I've got Godwin, but he's been hurt a lot this year. I've got Godwin. I've got Robbie Anderson, who catches 11 passes a game and never gets in the end zone.
Wouldn't that be great if he was still a Jet, for crying out loud? You know, for Matt Rhule, who they told was, but, all right, I don't want to go down that wormhole one more time.
Yeah. I got Eric Ebron. I've got the Baltimore defense. I've got it's a pretty good team.
And what's the name? Is it still the same name of your team?
Or just the tip.
Just the tip. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think it's still just the tip. Just one word: JUSDATIP. I'm never going to grow up, Rich. What do you want from me? What do you want? Huh? They can't take my kids away. You know, not for having a juvenile sense of humor. I don't think they can take the kids away.
Bobby, you are the best, man. Have a great Thanksgiving holiday season down under.
You too, man.
That's on Super Intelligence. Let's do this more often, man. I miss you.
I miss you too. Send Susie my best, okay?
Rose, that's Bobby Cannavale here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I then reached for my phone. I texted you right away. I'm like, this is just.
I can't even read what you wrote back. It was like, ah, I love that dude.
I mean, he is amazing.
We grew up with people like him, right?
Yeah, he's our friend. Yeah,
exactly. What are they going to do? Take my kids away?
From my juvenile sense of humor? JUSDATIP.
He was so scared, though, when he sat in your chair. It's funny he says to you about how crazy it was. He was like, on me and Brock, we was all over it. Like, we were like.
He got through it, though.
Yeah,
got through
it. He did a great job.
Let's take a break so we'll have a finish the phone banks and get your phone calls. That was just great. And review a little bit about what we just heard. I love that guy. Back on the Rich Eisen Show in a second. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. I want to thank so many of you out there that follow us on our YouTube page. It really is a pride of ours, because we've been cultivating that caper, to use the Goodfellas phrase, for quite some time. And we do notice the success that we've experienced, certainly in the last several months here in partnership with Peacock, NBC Sports on Peacock. We've removed our show from the live stream there. But as you saw, YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is a great way to keep up with our program, and we see it. We truly just, Chris, we just had our best week ever on our YouTube stream.
It seems like we say that every week.
No, but this is truly it, you know, and it keeps getting better and better. And we thank everybody that's out there. If you tell anybody about it, that we would greatly appreciate it. And it's only going to get better. And we just love streaming every day right here on NBC Sports on Peacock and being on our YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show page. And obviously, those who are listening to us on our podcast. We have some news about our podcast that's going to be coming up soon. And we're back here on our radio network that's expanding, by the way, which we're excited about. And we'll tell you about that as conditions warrant. But we got a lot in the hopper, which we're excited back here on our radio program. Now, for those on the radio that was just listening to Bobby, I spoke to Bobby last Friday. Very rarely do we, you know, pre-tape an interview with a celebrity prior to an NFL week, because we just know that whatever we talk about is the likelihood of it being no longer viable, if you will, evergreen is the phrase in our business. We don't want it to, hey, we just had a conversation on Friday and the narrative's totally changed, because any week, anything can happen in a week of football. With the Jets, I just had absolutely no worries. Even though they're taking on the Chargers, and as we saw, the Chargers Chargers issues are great, and we've seen just this year alone, Anthony Lynn deserves better, Chargers fans deserve better, Justin Herbert, even with his spectacular play, it comes up to bite him. But as hard as the Chargers tried, the Jets did lose. But you might have just heard it. You didn't see. Bobby and I are very similar. We're cut from the same cloth. We're from the same metropolitan area. We like the same teams, and we get along. Chris, you make fun of me a lot about how I talk on the phone.
Yes, yes, yes.
I can't sit and talk.
You are a pace talker when you're on the phone, big time.
How many times did you see Bobby? Because he zoomed from his phone. He wasn't on a computer. He wasn't on a camera. He wasn't on an iPad, just situated right there. He was holding his phone in his hand, talking the entire time. He would get up, talk, and walk, and then sit back down in the same chair, I think. Or he had two chairs that he kept ping-ponging again.
Looks like sitting kind of at like a table with a chair, and then he'd plop down on the couch at one point. At least four or five times.
We talk on the phone the same way, even. I didn't know that until... And I thought to myself, you know, do I tell him, hey, do you mind just stay put in one place? You can't tell me that.
No. No, because you'll get up, you'll walk over to the putting green.
I mean,
you'll sit back down, you'll walk back to the back.
I can't sit.
I know.
I can't sit.
It's all right.
Like, we'll have post-show calls.
Yes.
And Rich will be, we'll all use Rich's phone. He'll put it on speaker, and then he'll be at his desk. And then all of a sudden, he'll get up and walk away.
Yeah.
Hey, Rich.
You guys are listening.
Yeah, we're listening. Well,
I thought you could dial in on your own phones.
Yeah, but
you already did it first, and then you just have it up, and then you just walk away. And then we look at each other, we're like, does he not know we're all listening on the same?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's on you. You dial in yourselves.
I don't have the number.
You just drifted to the back.
You don't have the number. I don't know what the number is. I haven't gotten that yet. I'm not that far.
You haven't gotten it yet. That's ridiculous.
I don't know the
867-5309.
When are you going to put in your photo? When is your photograph going up on the YouTube banner? Have you finally put that in?
I gave that to Sean about a month ago.
Oh, stop it.
Whoa.
How long did it take for you to provide the photograph?
I think what I just said was I gave that picture to Sean a month ago. So it's out of my hands.
You know, I think we're preparing for our Festivus. It seems like our last segment of the show is an airing of grievances.
Who has grievances?
It started with the pizza stuff a week ago. Maybe we should.
Are we still talking about that?
What show does that? What have we learned? Did we do that on Game Morning? Did we do? Yes. I mean, on Mooch.
Mooch used to do it.
What have we learned?
What
show is it? Like, what have we learned?
I'm gonna say
today. Should we do a
Game
segment
Day
like
morning.
What have we learned? There was a show that's what have we learned, and we go. Oh, did Dan do it too? Maybe it's from Dan's.
I think Dan does. What have we learned? Dan does it.
I've heard that somewhere. Dan
Smith just texted me. Took 2 months to get a pick.
Yeah, that's false. That is fake news. Right? fake news.
Honestly, TJ, you don't have the phone number because you didn't.
I never have to call in. You were Chris calling.
What are you talking about? You're an integral part of this show.
I'm not saying
a 21st century show streams.
I'm going to send you the contact.
Requires a social media component that you are outstanding at. You're truly one of the best at what you do in this profession. And I'm not just saying that because
we're on. It's not a damn debate, guys.
It isn't a damn debate.
It's no debate.
It is not. But, you know, you should call in to the show.
Mike, do you have the call in, Mike?
Meeting.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't have
after a show is over.
I'm sitting here for the meeting.
I should not be like, what's the matter with Rich? You know I pace and talk. You know I'm a pacer. I talk and pace. You know I'm the king of a walk and talk.
King of the walk
and talk. From my days of Thursday Night Football.
We still love that. Talking and walking.
Oh, yeah, it was
yes.
King of the walk and talk.
I refuse to sit down there and say what's coming up on the post game show. I would walk and talk.
Yep.
And then you would announce how you're walking and talking.
Yes. Correct.
Again, I don't know how this picture thing is my fault, though.
It's your damn act together.
Because I asked you to provide one, and I think if, hold on. No.
Chris Brockman took the pictures.
You did insult Smitch a little bit.
No, a little bit. I disagree.
I do believe the amount of time we waited for your photograph far outstrips the amount of time that we've been waiting for Smitch to post this on our YouTube.
And you might be right, and that's great and all. And it would matter if I had sat here and going, hey, guys, I gave my picture. Why am I not on the YouTube page?
That's not like you.
I never said that. I didn't bring it up. It was brought up to me.
I just brought it up. That is correct.
Well, you guys have the info now.
Well, just shut up and let me answer.
That's how I'm feeling. Yeah, I didn't. Listen, people, I didn't bring that up. You know, that was brought to my attention.
Joe in San Diego. Let's take Joe's call. What's up, Joe?
Rich, happy Thanksgiving, boys, first and foremost.
Right, happy Thanksgiving, man.
But with all due respect. No, I couldn't get enough. I saw you in the interview with Bobby, and I looked at the, is it the cardigan you're wearing? God bless you. All I kept thinking was, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
I understand that I open myself up to Mr. Rogers' comparisons when I wear the cardigan, but I only know one speed, Joe, and sometimes that speed says cardigan, you know?
I thought maybe greatest grandfather of the year. No, I kid. I love you, Rich. I just want to know, you know what? I am a Browns fan. My Chargers left me, and my dad's from Ohio, so I just jumped over. I think they're a good team, not a great team. I don't know if they'll actually, you know, I think they're still a step or two away. Am I being realistic or am I?
I think you are correct, but I think that they have every opportunity to be 8-3, and then who the hell knows what happens. And then Cleveland shows up in some spot like Indianapolis on a wild card weekend or Tennessee or winds up in a spot like, you know, I don't know, but Kansas City or Pittsburgh would be difficult, but I'd love to see them run all over the place with Nick Chubb. I'd love to see it.
Well, you're absolutely right. It all goes to Nick Chubb. If that goes, the rest of the team goes. Couldn't agree more.
And that's why I'm saying to Stefanski's and the rest of the organization's like, let's get the offensive line beefed up. Let us run the football. Tell Baker Mayfield, don't throw any interceptions. Make the plays when you can, and let's win some football games. And I appreciate the call. That's the formula for success. And they're going to – I mean, how many times can you say Cleveland's going to win 8 of 11 ever? But they – I mean, they should win this game against Jacksonville. And then Cleveland is at Tennessee and then home for Baltimore again.
2020 is so weird. The Browns are going to end up winning the Super Bowl.
Right? 13-3.
And just get this narrative ready. You know, I like front-loading narratives. Get ready for their better without Odell Beckham narrative. That was already, you're already hearing that yelling and screaming, and now he's been out, and they haven't lost many games. That's coming. I want to thank Aaron Rodgers, Rick Stroud, Jim Gray, and the great Bobby Cannavale. On tomorrow's show, the dreamy Josh Duhamel will be on this program, and the dreamy Kyle Brandt. And I'll call him dreamy. Why not? Sean Payton. He's on the show tomorrow, too. All right, that's it for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on NBC Sports on Peacock. When we come back on Peacock, we'll send you to Brother from Another to our radio audience. See you Wednesday.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.